Did you or do you ever struggle with what you're supposed to eat or what you should eat every day? Do you listen to this diet or that diet, this fad or that fad? Are you no carb, paleo? Are you no sugar? Are you keto? There are so many different diet culture things out there telling us what we should and shouldn't eat. How many of you actually listen to your body? How many of you actually are intuitive eaters? Do you even know how to trust yourself to make a decision as to who to date, who to be friends with? What job do you want? What kind of career do you want? Do you want to write a book? Do you want to hang out with this person? Do you want to go to this restaurant? All of these questions that we sometimes don't even check in with ourselves. We just instantly do what we think we're supposed to do or what culture and society are conditioning us to do. In this week's episode, my guest, Libby Supan, and I have a conversation about how to trust ourselves more, how to be more intuitive. Libby is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She is also a coach, and she works with people on intuitive eating. She teaches and coaches how to have freedom with food. And as someone who has struggled a lifetime to have food freedom, I can promise you that this particular episode is one you will want to tune into. Welcome to the Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists podcast. I am Kim Gross, your host, and it is my mission to help you unmask from people pleasing and perfectionistic behaviors so that you can finally have the confidence to live the life that you truly desire. Let's tune in to this week's episode. Let me begin with a quote, as I normally do. And the quote that Libby shared with me is from Maya Angelou. And it is, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." Love that. So true. So has happened in my life. The more I know, the better I do. It's a process, but I get there. So welcome to the show, Libby. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Kim. Me too. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you want the listeners to know about you?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for introducing me. I'm Libby Supan, and I am a person that recovered from eating disorders, disordered eating I had for about 2 decades, so about 20 years. And I really did not think I was going to live. I thought that's how I was going to die. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was possible for me to get better or recovery would work. I made a promise to myself that if I actually get better, if I actually recover, I will then have to do this work and help others. It was just this knowing that I had. So most of the time I was struggling to find like the help that I needed. Part of my story is that for 15 years, I was in part of a program that I thought was helping me with the eating disorder, but it was actually making it worse. And I didn't know that until I got actual real eating disorder treatment help when my insurance finally allowed me to get that. So yeah, it took me a very long time to recover. And once I did, it was like, okay, like the seed's been planted. I now have to do this. You know, went to grad school. And so today I have a therapy practice where I specialize in eating disorders, disordered eating, and anything to do with food or body issues. I also now have a coaching practice, which I'm super excited about. It's like kind of the newest thing I'm working on. And that is, yeah. So the person I work with in my coaching program, it's very rare if you have an active eating disorder in my coaching program, not that you can't, but I would have to really have a better understanding of who you are and what's going on. But yeah, most of the people in my coaching program have some kind of a food or body issue. And what I do is, the way I explain it is, I'm holding your hand and walking you through how to relearn to be an intuitive eater, because we were all born that way. Mm-hmm. We lost our way along the path and we just have to get back to where we started.
Absolutely. So that's what I do. Yeah. So you said something in your introduction that you said that if you recovered from your eating disorder, that you knew you had to go and help other people that were going through something similar. And you said that it was a knowing for you. So that's what I want to tap into in this episode, because you and I have talked off camera about the dangers, the pitfalls of A, being a perfectionist, and B, having people tell us throughout our lives how we should do something, what we should be doing. Do it this way, do it that way. Usually it's our parents, our caregivers telling us what to do and how to do it at all times. And let's even say from the standpoint of food, let's even start there, right? You just said we come into this world knowing how to eat intuitively. When we're babies, if it's too much, we throw up, right? We spit it up. If our bellies are too full, you know, you see a baby, the first time you give it bananas usually are okay. But if you give it the carrots or something, I remember my kids just like swatting it to the ground. No, I don't want that. And then, oh my God. Okay. I'm going to take my mask off right now. Because this memory just came to me. And I'm so like embarrassed to share it, but it's important to what we're talking about. Is that I remember when my son was 2 years old, he's 24 now. And I remember sitting at the table and there was something on his plate that he wouldn't eat. I don't know, maybe it was broccoli or something or other. It was something to do with the fact that I said to him that you have to finish what's on your plate. And he didn't want to, or didn't, or whatever, 2 years old. Cause I remember him being strapped into this little seat. And I said, you're going to stay here until you do. Do you know that little 2 year old probably sat there for two or three hours. And then he wouldn't do it. And I finally said, okay. And I let him down. So what did he learn? He learned absolutely nothing, but talk about like that imposing of what you should eat and shouldn't eat. Right. And so we lose that ability to trust ourselves and to intuit everything, not just what we eat, but who we date, what kind of job we have, what kind of profession we go into, all the decisions that we make as young children, teenagers, young adults. So do you have any thoughts you want to share on that?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say is that is like what you described, the situation with your son. And by the way, you're totally okay. You didn't know any different or better. You were doing the best that you could. Just a quote. That is one of the biggest reasons why I encourage people to get help. Oftentimes, I learned it from my mom. My mom learned it from her mom. If I have offspring, I'm going to teach it to my kids. So we got to break these generational traumatic norms. So anyways, just good for you for doing and being better, knowing more. But this is how I think about it. If I, and whichever one comes first, I don't necessarily know. Either one could come first as far as lack of trust or unhealthy relationship with food. But if I have lack of trust and am listening to all of this like outside noise of diet culture and telling me like what to do, what not to do, and I'm already a person that's, I'll call it codependency. I don't trust myself. I look to others to get the answers. Yeah, of course, you better believe. If I'm already insecure about my body image, I'm going to listen to everything they're saying. But everything they're saying actually isn't like facts. It's to sell something. But I don't know that because I'm the insecure consumer who's vulnerable and I'm going to do anything to try to fix it. But it's trusting yourself. And I think the biggest thing that I learned was, and I'll never forget the day, I was in treatment and I was in the group of the dietitian was leading the group. It was an intuitive eating group. And I just remember like listening to what she was saying, but having this visual of like the clouds like exploding in the sky. And I could see, wait a second, Libby, I have been living in like a cult. I've been believing everything that diet culture has told me, whether it's like whatever show, whatever person influencer, whoever. And that is what has brought me here. Mm. Not trusting me is what has made me disordered. That is part of the disorder. And I never knew that. And it's just with everything. Okay, so if I don't trust myself, how can I then trust myself to feed myself? And then vice versa. If it starts with food, so let's say I totally trust myself, everything's great, but I'm going to start acting and engaging in this like disordered eating behaviors. I'm going to start calorie counting or going on the scale every day, whatever it is. Because of those behaviors, I'm showing myself that I can't trust myself internally. So because of that, most likely, I'm now going to start not being able to trust myself in the other areas of my life, like relationships and career and anything. And it just can trickle into every area of one's life. And every single person I work with has, not every single person, most people I work with have food issues, food or body issues, and also have anxiety, depression, codependency, and perfectionism. They all go hand in hand. So yes. Did that make sense?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Because yes. Check, check, check. So I love what you're saying. I shared in another episode, a solo episode that I did, but I'll just share it again because listeners can always pick up this podcast at a different point in time. And it's very appropriate to this conversation. So I'll repeat it. And which is that when I was 11 is when I went through puberty. So I was pretty early and it was an overnight drastic change in my body image. I still to this day have stretch marks on like my thighs and my hips because my body stretched out so fast. Like I had boobs, hips, butt, everything. And most of my peers did not go through puberty. So I really felt like a fish out of water. I felt like I did not belong to the herd. Something in this group doesn't fit or belong. And it was me. And so that was so scary for me, on top of the fact that the boys would call me Hooters or Thunder Thighs, and I would be so insecure to run in gym class because I didn't have a supportive bra and my boobs were all over the place. So I had this horrible body image going on, felt horrible about myself. And it was like, okay, how am I going to protect myself? How can I avoid this kind of shame and unworthiness that I felt? And that's when I started to perfect and perform and please, because it was a distraction, right? It was a distraction. Mm-hmm. And I felt at least if I was getting this external validation from perfecting and performing, it took away from me focusing on how horribly I felt about myself. So then the same year, my mom was always overweight as well. So I remember that it was my mom and I, we went to this diet center, like a Jenny Craig.
Oh, and, I went there.
Right? Yeah. Jenny Craig. And so I remember going in with white tights and a black leotard. Now, if you have thunder thighs and you put white tights on, your thighs are going to look even freaking bigger. And I can laugh about this now because I've done enough work on it that it's hindsight. And then there's mirrors on every freaking wall. And then they have those machines that you step inside of with a band goes around your waist and you turn the machine on and it jiggles everything. And somehow that's supposed to help you to lose weight. I still to this day don't really know why. So here I am, 11 years old, white tights, black leotard, looking in the mirror with this band around my waist, watching my fat jiggle in the mirror, being weighed in. And just, I remember so restricting after that. Carrots and celery was all that, and that started this binge restrict cycle for me at the age of 11. Mm. Talk about not being able to trust myself or intuit what I needed to eat. I overrode everything from that point forward because subconsciously I made a deal with myself that I am not going to be made fun of. I'm not going to be ostracized and be on the outside of this tribe because my limbic brain was saying, if you do, you might end up being killed off or something. That's my limbic brain saying the fear of being rejected, the fear of being abandoned. So any thoughts on that? I would just think I shared that story to help illustrate the point of how subtly almost, and I don't know if it was innocently, but just how it can happen so subtly.
Yeah.
That we lose this trust in ourselves.
Absolutely. There's so much I can say about what you shared. First of all, thank you for sharing that. And my heart just breaks for your younger self, your 11-year-old self.
Thank you.
And I think kids are kids and they're going to say what they're going to say. But inherently, kids don't know that bigger or fat is bad. That comes from parents and the adults in the lives, in the world. And so it's such a systematic problem that it has to start with the people that are able to get the help. So the adults in the world, and then you be better, and then you do better and teach your kids to be and do better. But, the puberty thing, I really don't want to make this about me, but as you were talking, I was remembering myself. I was so terrified of puberty. And this is definitely taking my mask off. I've never said this publicly. I remember, I think it started in fifth grade. I started doing this. I started shaving my whole body because even if I had hair somewhere grow, I didn't want to know about it. So I would shave hair that wasn't there for, I didn't even hit puberty till going into eighth grade. So from fifth grade till then, I wore maxi pads every single day for fear that I would start my period at school. And I wore the tightest, like sports type bras. I was flat as a board, but I did that because I was so terrified.
Yeah.
So anyways, I can't imagine what that would have been like for you. I can and I can't. But yeah, it's that, well, I was fine. And then all of a sudden I'm not. And I know that now because everyone's telling me I'm not okay. I'm not good enough. I'm different than, I need to be better. It's a panic feeling. And it's, what if it gets worse? What if this gets worse? Could it get worse?
That was my fear.
Yeah.
That was my fear. What if I gained so much weight that I was like 200 or 300 pounds or more? What if I couldn't even walk? Yeah, there's such a fear that I would get worse and that the eating would get more and more out of control, that I would never be able to stop the eating.
Right.
And that I would just gain so much weight. And I think that this really lends to a very important point, which is that if a parent is listening to this episode, and even if a person's not a parent, but intends to maybe have kids at some point, is that what one can learn from what we're saying in terms of helping our kids, our younger generation, even for you, if you were to work with teenagers or young adults, or if you're a teacher, if in any way, shape or form, you work with closely kids, teenagers, young adults, that you help them to become aware of when they're starting to wear a mask. Or if you see the mask, whatever mask it is, perfectionism, people pleasing, overachieving, overconfidence, to go to the underneath. What is underneath wearing that mask? So for me, when I was wearing the people pleasing, perfecting, performing mask, what was underneath was I had this intense fear of being rejected, of not feeling like I was worthy enough to belong. And so it's so important to, if you see a teen that is overwhelmed, stressed out, maybe pulling hair out from trying to be perfect in school, straight A's, get into the Ivy League school, does have an eating disorder, is either binging or restricting. These are all like warning signs, and you are the expert. So maybe you can share some more of these types of warning signs that the adults can help become aware of so that they can intervene.
Yep. I'm so glad that you brought that up about the teens too, because I do work with teens and I have a handful of teen clients, and they're all right now, they're all in high school. And like the first thing I just want to say is I wish that the school systems in our country were different. It just breaks my heart what the pressure we put on the kids. And every year it just gets more and more competitive. So they are constantly just like in over their heads, stressed out, up until 1 a.m. doing homework, waking up at 5 to get to school to do the whatever homework before that's just nuts. But yeah, okay, so parents, what you can look out for, the very first thing to do is to, I think, two big things in every household. And these are, what's the word I'm trying to say? These are like deal breaker kind of things. Like you must do these two things, okay? According to Libby's world. So one, there is no diet talk in the house, meaning all morality is lifted off of food. There is no good or bad. Do not call fun food junk food. Do not call it junk food. Like neutralize everything. Make everything neutral, okay? There's no judgment on any of it. All foods have their place. So that's number one. Number two is bodies. Stop talking about bodies in a negative way. Stop talking about bodies in a positive way as far as appearance goes. I want to say in the most loving way, knock it off. Because you are giving your kids the most powerful messages about their bodies. When I was growing up, my mom, all she did was hate her body. And it was like, this month is Jenny Craig, next month is Weight Watchers, next month is Nutrisystem, next month is Octavia, whatever. And it was the constant, I have to lose weight, I have to lose weight, watching it. And I didn't consciously know what was happening. But what was happening is I was receiving this message. Wait a second. If my mom hates her body so much and she's trying to change it and it's like the biggest thing in her life, like I came from her body. What does that say about me? I know I can never gain weight because that's what's going to happen kind of thing. So please be careful how you talk and what you say all the time in front of everyone and your kids. And then I think things to look out for would be behavior changes. So do you notice your, you know, child becoming more, I don't know, like going within? Are they quieter? Are they wearing their makeup differently? Are they wearing different types and styles of clothes? Do they look different as far as body size or weight? And this is, none of this is to demonize the kids, your children. It's to really observe and recognize, hey, maybe something is going on. It's, are they engaging in any kind of food behaviors? Are they eating less? Are they eating more? Do you notice them going to the bathroom before or after meals or snacks? Do you notice them, maybe the kid brings home the lunch pail or the whatever, and there's still the lunch in there? Do you notice that? Or are they eating 5 lunches a day? Are they not eating dinner? Are they eating 3 dinners? Do you find wrappers under their bed? Do you find them pinching their body in certain places while they look in the mirror? Do you find them talking crap to themselves as they're getting ready for school, putting their makeup on? All of these things. So a lot of these things are like, unfortunately, the common, typical, normal adolescent type of behaviors to do, not feeling good in your body. I think that's very common as an adolescent. But it gets to a point where it's, okay, we need to look at this. So I think all of those things. And then the next step would be how to approach it. There is no judgment. The best thing you can do for your kid is to know they can say anything to you without judgment and without them getting in trouble, okay? Neutral. And this is how I would approach it. Let's say your kid's name is Sally. First of all, it's best to make sure that you're both in like neutral moods and environments. So like maybe you're not doing math homework that causes you a panic attack all the time. So it would be something like, again, it's calm, it's private, it's just the two of you. Hey, Susie. I've noticed a few things that have been different, and I just wanted to ask you about them. I noticed that lately, when you bring your lunch home from school, you still have all your food in it. I've noticed that when you look in the mirror, you're saying really mean things to yourself. And I just wanted to ask you what's been going on for you, and just how are you feeling, and what is it that you're thinking about? And just be so open and just loving, because even if your teen is acting like a jerk, please remember when you were a teen, I was the biggest jerk. They're just trying to live in a world where they want to fit in.
Yeah, that was so open. It felt so open. If I was a teen right now, I'd want to come talk to you. So I love how you role played that for us. And yeah, you're right. Whether the kid is a teen, a young adult, tween, even school age, there's so much freaking pressure. There's so much pressure on them for the 8 to 10 hours a day that they leave the house where they're trying so freaking hard to hold it all together. And then when they come home, they're supposed to be able to feel like this is the safe place. This is where I can be a freaking hot mess without being judged or criticized for it. And that's where parents miss the mark. And that's why I'm so passionate about spreading the message around wearing masks, because our kids don't feel, along with us, we don't feel we can be our true authentic selves because we feel we have to be perfect. And if we're not, we're being judged, we're being criticized, we're being ostracized, we're told we're doing it wrong. And that's not how you're supposed to act. And good girls don't act like this. Little boys don't cry. All that bullshit, right? It's so important that we change the paradigm. So I love what you're saying. Yeah. And so I guess maybe we would just like round out by, I would asking, is there anything else that you can say to someone who's listening or a parent even in terms of how do we get to this place of being able to trust ourselves more and not have so much self-doubt?
Yeah. So I think it depends. I think it depends. Like I will probably always say, I think it's always best to work with somebody who specializes in this. I also know that's a privilege. It's for everybody. So I will speak first to people who don't have that option. There is so much knowledge, information, and good stuff out there in the world today, and equally like bad. So make your algorithms on social media work for you. Clean them up. Seriously, be very intentional about what you look at on social media and everything else. But I think of social media because it's the constant scrolling. So meaning stop following accounts, anything, whether it's friend, family, whoever, where you feel bad about yourself when you're in their account or when you watch their video. Even if they didn't do anything wrong, just mute them for right now, okay? And definitely unfollow dieting accounts, any kind of diet culture, thinspiration, fitspiration, even if it's, I don't know, a style type of page and all women are like super thin and white and tall. Stop that. Unfollow that and start following the good stuff, the true healthy pages, the holistically healthy ones. And also a huge one is your brain needs to be retrained as far as bodies and body size and fat phobia and size inclusivity. So here's what you do. You have to force your brain to see images that are your size, body, and larger. And this takes time. And I'm going to be honest and take my mask off, but I absolutely was extremely fat phobic. And it's taken me a long time to retrain my brain to see all bodies as beautiful. And neutral also. And I forced myself to look at images that made me uncomfortable. And it's been years now, but that's what works. So really go look at different things. Here's another interesting thing. And this is not about like food and body, but this is taking my mask off. So
love
dating.
It.
So I used to have a typical guy that I would go for. And that typical guy didn't usually serve me. Because these certain qualities usually meant certain things. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, being codependent.
Yes.
And so after most of my life doing this, I thought, okay, guess what, Liddy? This type of person isn't working. So how do I become attracted to a different type of person? So here's what I did. I literally, like in my filters and dating apps or whatever, the online dating apps, that's what they're called. Yeah. I would just change things. So I would change the ethnicities. I would change like their backgrounds. And I literally forced myself to date different types of men that I was not attracted to. And I will tell you today, I have changed the way that is for myself. I am, totally attracted to different types of things.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important that we do train our brains. It just seems to be a common theme over and over again with so many guests and even podcasts that I listen to. So I love that. This has been really valuable information. It's a quick episode, but I feel like it's jam-packed with value.
I agree.
Jam-packed with value. And it can, like I said, it can be for a parent, it can be for a teacher, it can be for anyone who has gone down this road before or is still struggling with body image and eating disorder stuff. Shit, I will always have some level of it. So I'm benefiting from listening to you. And I just think so many people will be able to relate. So where can people find you? They're like, I got to work with this Libby person. Where do I find her?
Yeah. So on all my social media accounts, it's Food Freedom with Libby. So most of my social media. So go to TikTok and Instagram, Food Freedom with Libby. You can go to my website, libbysupan.com. You can email me, libby@libbysupan.com. And I will email you a link to my like freebie, whatever you call that. There's three or four of them. I'm really bad with that. I don't know.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
it's escaping me. Yes. A link that you could put in the show notes. But yeah, so just Food Freedom with Libby. You can email me. You can check out my website. And on my website, there's like forms you can fill out that will directly go to my email. So yeah.
Awesome. That is really incredible. Thank you so much for being guest today. What a good conversation.
Thank you. This was awesome.
You're welcome. So thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. And if you found this conversation to be helpful or valuable, and you even want to know more, let us know, leave us a comment. But at the very least, if you did enjoy it, I would love for a review. Until next time, everybody.